Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Turkey. If you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been following Turkey for a long period of time. And unfortunately, we've seen a deterioration over all of that period. And unfortunately, again today, I'm going to tell you more bad news that inflation has increased even further. It's now at a 24-year high in Turkey. So in this video, we'll go through some of the details of that. We'll have a look at what's driving that inflation. We'll then have a look at what's going on with the Turkish lira, which has also deteriorated since the last time I posted on it. It now looks like it's starting to tumble, so we'll have a look at the details on that. And then we'll have a look at a few of the other aspects of the economy. We'll touch on the trade deficit, what's going on with regards to the currency reserves, and some concerning issues that are coming up shortly for the Turkish Central Bank. We'll then talk about what's going on with regards to President Erdogan. The next election in Turkey is in June 2023, and his presidency is now under pressure, and he's starting to make some noises about military action. So we'll have a look at what's going on with regards to Turkey's involvement in Syria. We'll talk about the Turkish involvement in Finland and Sweden's application to join NATO, because Turkey had been blocking that application. We'll then have a look at Turkey's relationship with Greece. And then we'll talk about a story that's come out recently accusing Turkey of buying stolen grain from Russia. And finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen in Turkey over the next 3 to 6 months and the impact of all of that on the global economy. So before we get started, if I could ask you, as usual, to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. And also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. So if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and YouTube's Super Thanks feature. Turkey's annual rate of inflation increased to a 24-year high of 73.5% in May, which was caused by the result of rising energy prices as a result of the war in Ukraine and the falling value of the Turkish lira. The current rate of inflation is an increase on the 73.2% that we saw in April and is now the highest level since October 1998, when inflation touched 76.6%. In terms of the key metrics of transport and food costs, transport costs are now up to 108% inflation over the last 12 months, and food costs are at 92%. This chart shows the annual inflation rate for Turkey over the last 27 years. And you can see the almost vertical increase that we've seen in inflation over the last 6 months. And if you compare that to where we were historically, you can see that inflation back in 98 was actually on a downward trend because it had come from more than 100%. And the key question that we need to answer right now is, when will Turkish inflation hit its peak? Will we see it going above 100%? The Domestic Producer Price Index gives us a really good indication as to what is likely to happen to inflation going forward, because the prices that producers are paying now will be passed on to consumers later as those goods are fully produced and then they hit the shelves. And unfortunately, the Producer Price Index is now running at an annual rate of 132%, and we saw an 8.76% increase in the month of May. So what that tells us is that producer prices are continuing to run considerably ahead of the headline rate of inflation of 73%. In fact, producer prices are almost double that level. So that gives us a very strong indication that inflation is not likely to fall anytime soon in Turkey, because those prices are on their way to consumers. In terms of the question of where rates are heading, the finance minister of Turkey is very bullish, and he stated on Twitter that monthly inflation readings are trending lower. However, I can't see that in any of the figures that have been released. He previously said that inflation will fall to single digits in time for next year's election under an economic program that prioritizes low interest rates, high production and exports, and a current account surplus. Economists disagree with his assessment and see inflation staying high for the rest of 2022 and ending the year at 63%. And one economist was quoted as saying, "It is not possible for Turkey, which has gone beyond the rules of economic doctrine, to solve its key problem of high inflation with its current policies." In addition to disagreeing with the finance minister's predictions, economists have also questioned the reliability of the Turkish Statistical Institute's figures. In a surprise move this month, the Turkish Statistical Institute stopped publishing average prices on individual items in the inflation basket, which is something that they've been doing every month since 2003. In response to this, an economist based in Turkey stated that establishing the institute's independence from the government is as important as the central bank's independence, and accurate and reliable data production is the first and foremost prerequisite to implementing correct policies. As you'll know if you follow the channel, the Turkish lira fell by 44% in 2021, and unfortunately in 2022 we've seen a further and more rapid deterioration. The lira is now down over 20% in 2022 and fell by 9% in May alone. This chart shows the movement in the lira over the last 12 months, and you can see that the rapid deterioration started in November after the central bank confirmed that it was sticking with its policy of reducing interest rates at the time of extremely high inflation. Traditional theory tells you that when inflation is high, you should increase interest rates because that reduces people's appetite for spending and encourages them to save. However, Turkey has taken a contrarian approach. They went with the opposite scenario and started to reduce interest rates, and this drove up inflation and caused a huge sell-off in the lira towards the end of 2021. The central bank stepped in towards the end of December, and you can see that there was a marked change where the value of the lira fell from around 16.5 to a dollar down to below 11 to $1 and then stabilized at around 13.5 lira to $1. However, that stabilization was driven entirely by the central bank buying lira in the open markets. They were supporting the value of the lira, and this is what's known as a managed currency, when a central bank will manage the situation to ensure that an exchange rate stays around a certain point. So if we shorten the graph to just look at what's been happening over the last 6 months, we can see that at the start of this period, there was the huge volatility that was caused by the central bank stepping in. And then the central bank managed to keep the situation relatively stable through until the start of the Russian invasion of Ukraine on the 24th of February. Now, since that time, what we have seen is that oil and natural gas and wheat and a variety of other commodity items that Turkey has to import have all increased in price by around 50%. And that's put a huge amount of pressure onto the Turkish lira. So from that point onwards, you can see that there has been a marked and consistent deterioration in the value of the Turkish lira. And this has increased the pressure on the Turkish central bank because they have needed to find more currency to be able to stabilize the lira. There's a lot of downward pressure on the currency. And the problem that the central bank has had is that they've also needed large amounts of currency to be able to buy in the natural gas and the oil and all of the other commodity items that Turkey's buying in the open markets. If we now look at what's been happening over the last month, you can see that the lira has been deteriorating almost on a daily basis over the last month. And this is because Turkey does not have the cash available to be able to keep supporting the lira any longer. So the central bank is swimming against the tide. There is a lot of downward pressure on the lira, primarily because Turkey is a net importer. It's having to buy in all of these items, and it's just not generating enough foreign currency to do that. And at the same time, in the Turkish markets, we've got inflation above 70%. So investors do not want to put any money into Turkey. So there is no inflow of capital going into the country, which they could use to be able to support the lira. So we're looking at a perfect storm here for the Turkish lira. And the diagnosis in terms of what's likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months is not good. One of the ways that Turkey has been trying to bolster its foreign currency reserves is by appealing to all of the individuals in Turkey and all of the companies and asking them to hand over all of their foreign currency and also asking them to send in their gold. And towards the end of 2021 and the start of 2022, these schemes were proving popular because they were offering high rates of interest and also a currency protection mechanism, which meant that if the value of the lira fell, they would be given an adjustment payment. However, it now seems that these accounts are less popular and that the people of Turkey are losing confidence in holding their money in Turkish banks in lira. And one of the big questions now is whether or not a lot of these account holders will renew their deposits for another fixed period. It's estimated that around $10 billion worth of deposits are up for redemption in July and another $20 billion in August. A commentator from JP Morgan said it was essential to sustain depositors' interest in the scheme amid deeply negative real rates. Turkey may now need to change the terms of these accounts and potentially offer new tax breaks, although that will lead to further problems down the line. Another market commentator has stated that the protection mechanisms that are offered to investors against currency weakness are not sustainable. And recently I was sent some information directly by one of our viewers, so shout out to Frederick in Turkey, thank you very much, who said that his partner was being bombarded by emails from Turkish banks asking for gold to be deposited. And this is the link that's being sent to customers on a gold valuation and deposit scheme. And it says the jewellery gold valuation system allows savers to transfer their gold and jewellery to their bank accounts through contracted jewellers without any cost. After calculating the value of your gold and jewellery items, you can safely transfer the monetary equivalent of your gold directly to the new bank account. When you deliver your gold, the process will be recorded on camera, and if you agree with the valuation, that sum will then be transferred to your new bank account. So this is a really interesting concept, and handing over gold to your bank manager and being given the cash equivalent, so essentially selling your gold to the bank, is not something that I have ever heard about before anywhere else in banking in the Western world. And what this scheme tells us is that Turkey is really desperate for assets right now. It needs dollars and euros and gold. It's looking at those items because they are a store of value. The Turkish lira is deteriorating in value on a daily basis. So nobody wants to hold any of their wealth or their assets in Turkish lira because your wealth will start to go down rapidly. So everybody wants to get out of lira and into assets that they see will have long-term value. And there will come a point potentially very soon where the Turkish people will not be prepared to hand over any more of their assets to help the government out of this situation. As I mentioned at the start of the video, there is an election next year for the new president of Turkey. And President Erdogan is clearly concerned that his popularity has been falling. The situation with regards to the economy is not helping him at all. And it now looks like he's turning his attention to more nationalistic issues and trying to fight terrorism on a number of different fronts. And engaging in military conflict is a tactic that we've seen time and time again from governments and leaders in order to bring people together and improve their support. Turkey has a border with Syria, and Syria is a country that's had civil unrest for more than 10 years. And President Erdogan has recently come out and stated that Turkey will rid northern Syria of terrorists. He's pledged a new military incursion on Turkey's southern border against the US-backed Syrian Kurdish militia, YPG, which Turkey views as a terrorist group. We are going into the new phase of our determination to form a 30-kilometer deep safe zone along our southern border. We will clear the area of terrorists, and we will do the same to other regions step by step. Let's see who supports these legitimate steps by Turkey and who hinders them, he said. Turkey has been involved in four separate operations in northern Syria since 2016, seizing hundreds of kilometres of land and pushing some 30 kilometres deep into the country, mainly targeting the YPG. Turkey's cross-border operations in Syria have been criticised by its NATO allies, notably the USA, and some have imposed a series of arms embargoes on Turkey. The US Secretary of State has confirmed his opposition to the move and stated that the US will continue effectively to take the fight through partners to ISIS within Syria, and we don't want to see anything that jeopardises the efforts that are made to continue to keep ISIS in the box that we put it in. Now, Turkey's announcement of a new offensive in Syria coincides with its objections to Finland and Sweden's NATO bids on the grounds that they back Kurdish militants and groups Turkey deems terrorists, and because of arms embargoes imposed by Turkey's offensive into northern Syria in 2019. So as you'll know if you follow the channel, Sweden and Finland have now both officially applied to join NATO. They've been concerned by what's going on in Ukraine. In order to be accepted into NATO, it requires a unanimous vote from all 30 members. And Turkey have made an official objection that they do not want to see either of those two countries joining, as they're seen to be supporting Kurdish military, which Turkey deem as terrorists, and President Erdogan claims were involved in the attempted coup against him in 2016. Turkey placed an official objection on the 13th of May on the grounds that Finland and Sweden were harbouring people linked to groups it deems terrorists, including the Kurdistan Workers' Party, PKK, and because they halted arms exports to Turkey in 2019. Turkey has stated that both countries must halt their support for the PKK, bar them from organising any events, extradite those sought by Turkey on terrorism charges, support Turkey's military and counter-terrorism operations, and lift all arms export restrictions. Both Finland and Sweden are seeking to negotiate a solution and believe that Turkey's objections can be overcome. And President Erdogan has stated that eventually Finland's government must decide which is more important, to join NATO or to protect these kind of organisations, referring to the PKK and other groups that Turkey deemed to be terrorists. In addition to the problems with Syria, Finland and Sweden, Turkey is now also agitating with its old enemy Greece. In 2021, after 5 years of not talking, Turkey and Greece resumed talks to address their differences in the Mediterranean Sea and other problems that they have. At the start of June, President Erdogan announced that he was halting all talks with Greece due to a dispute with the Greek Prime Minister and alleged airspace violations by Greece. In reference to the disagreement about airspace, President Erdogan stated, "You keep putting shows on for us with your planes. What are you doing? Pull yourself together. Do you not learn lessons from history? Don't try to dance with Turkey. You'll get tired and stuck on the road. We are no longer holding bilateral talks." President Erdogan went on to state that the Greek Prime Minister no longer exists for him and accused him of trying to block the sale of F-16 fighter jets to Turkey during a recent visit to the United States. The Turkish Foreign Minister has also waded in and stated that Greece was violating international agreements that determine the demilitarized status of islands in the Aegean, warning that if Athens did not change course, Turkey would launch challenges over the island's status. In response to this, Greece's foreign minister has now come out and stated that Turkey is threatening Greece. As we've discussed previously on the channel, Turkey has taken an entirely neutral stance to what's going on in Ukraine. Turkey has strong relationships with both Russia and Ukraine prior to this conflict, and they've maintained their trading relations with Russia and have not partaken in any of the sanctions against them. Ukraine has accused Russia of stealing hundreds of thousands of tons of grain that was harvested prior to the invasion and was being held in storage prior to export and also use within Ukraine itself. Kyiv's ambassador to Ankara, the capital of Turkey, has recently come out and stated that Turkey are among those countries that are receiving grain that Russia has stolen from Ukraine. He stated that the stolen grains have been shipped out of Crimea, which Russia annexed in 2014, and that Kyiv is now working with Turkey and Interpol to find the culprits involved. "We've made our appeal to Turkey to help us, and upon the suggestion of the Turkish side, are launching criminal cases regarding those stealing and selling the grains," he said. The Ukrainian embassy in Ankara later named 5 vessels that they believe have been involved in shipping this grain. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been monitoring exactly what's going on in Turkey over the last 6 months or so. And unfortunately, the situation continues to deteriorate. And the bottom line reason for all of this is that Turkey is a net importer. It imports huge volumes of natural gas, which it uses to create electricity and also feeds the consumers and industry, and also oil and also food products. And unfortunately, the price of all of those items has gone up dramatically since the start of the Ukraine war. At the end of 2021, Turkey was already in a precarious situation, and what's happening right now is making it significantly worse. Inflation in Turkey right now is one of the highest rates that we've got all across the world. Now, over the last few months, the Turkish authorities have been doing everything that they can to try and gather in as much currency, and they've asked for the people and all of the companies in Turkey to help them out. But unfortunately, that help seems to be now wearing a bit thin, and they're running out of options. They have been raising some money from international swaps with countries like Saudi Arabia and China, and they've also got some investment. They've raised some sukuk bonds, but they're simply not raising enough capital to be able to keep buying in the level of imports that they need and also to support the value of the lira. So I think what's likely to happen over the next month or three is that we will see the Turkish lira deteriorating even further. It's likely to breach 20 to $1 and possibly could go even lower than that. And without significant currency reserves, the Turkish Central Bank won't be able to do anything about that situation. Now, the knock-on impact of the falling value of the lira is that your population loses confidence in the currency. And we've seen that in Turkey over the last 6 months. There has been a huge dollarization in the country. So people are happier trading in dollars and euros than they are in Turkish lira. And once that happens, it's very difficult to turn that situation around. And when you've got 73% inflation, it's just unmanageable because people see the prices of everything they're buying going up on a daily basis in some circumstances. So this is an entirely dire situation for Turkey. And President Erdogan is fully aware of this, and he's got an election coming up in 2023. So without the ability to be able to solve all of the economic problems, he's now turning his attention to other nations and starting to talk about military action. And this is a classic scenario that you see in many countries around the world. When a leader starts to lose popularity and there's a potential that they're going to lose their position, quite often you will see some form of military conflict because that often brings together all the support of the people. They come together to unite against a common enemy, and that then turns around the popularity contest. And I think that's really what's happening in Turkey right now. There's been a lot more noise over the last couple of weeks in terms of what's going on in Syria, what's going on with regards to their relationship with Greece, the conflict with regards to the NATO application from Finland and Sweden. All of these are getting a lot of press, and there's a lot of noise around it, which is deflecting some of the attention away from the economic problems that Turkey has right now. But unfortunately, none of that will solve the economic problems. And unless Turkey does something about it, it's going to get much worse. Now, the policy that they've been following so far of reducing interest rates at a time of extremely high inflation just hasn't worked. Since they've been doing that, inflation has taken off and gone through the roof. So they need to turn that policy around rapidly in order to try and bring inflation back under control. They've just confirmed that interest rates have been held again at 14%. So there's no change in that policy. And until we see something different happening, it's likely that inflation is going to get worse. The economists are forecasting inflation to be at 60% by the end of 2022. But the way things are going at the moment, it's more likely to be more than 100%. And as that inflation goes up, that puts even more pressure on the lira, less people want to deal in lira, and so it goes on. It becomes a really vicious circle. And that's exactly where Turkey is right now. So in terms of what's going to happen, unless Turkey does something about this, they are heading for disaster. They're going to run out of money and they're going to need to do a deal with somebody. Now, who that somebody is remains to be seen. Russia is obviously keen to do deals at the moment, but Turkey is a member of NATO. But whether or not it'll be able to develop stronger relationships with Russia at the same time as remaining in NATO is a big question. And in terms of what's the impact of all of this on the global economy, well, a weak Turkey is not good news for the global economy because it's going to need some help, it's going to need some assistance. And as I've said on many other videos before, somebody's going to have to pay for that ultimately. So it would be beneficial for everybody if Turkey can turn its situation around, if it can get back to health. It's hoping that tourism will bring in a lot of money over the next few months. And we'll wait and see whether or not that happens, because historically, Russia and Ukraine have provided a lot of tourists to Turkey. And obviously, those numbers will be down significantly this year. Whether they can attract in people from other countries, we'll have to wait and see. But I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen with regards to Turkey and anything else that's going on. If you've liked what I've said today, if you thought it was interesting, informative, educational, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a very quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I've got lots of different creators who are now talking to me, but I still need more. So if you're thinking about making that video, if you've been mulling it over, maybe, maybe not, now's the time to give it a go. This is a great opportunity. It's a platform that's out there that will get some views. So hopefully your video, if you post it up, will get hundreds, maybe thousands of views, maybe a lot more. Maybe we can give it that big push. It could go viral and you could take off and become somebody who likes doing YouTube on a regular basis. And then you can launch your own channel. And maybe this is the stepping stone that you needed to make that sort of change and have a new challenge in life. So if you've been thinking about it, if you've been mulling it over, go get your camera, go get a microphone, start doing some shooting, put something together, drop me a message and I'll get your video up on the channel at some point in the future. So thanks for watching this part of the video and thanks for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.